If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. It says in verse 15 through 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I have been in the pastorate for many years now, almost 40. One of the things that I have seen used of the devil in my lifetime is music. Now, people from time to time get brave enough to ask me why we're so conservative in our music here at First Baptist Church. Those who don't ask oftentimes think about it. But I have a long perspective of seeing what music does in the lives of people and in the lives of churches when it's the wrong kind of music. A lot of people have accused me of saying, "Oh, you're just reading that conservative Christian stuff." Over the years, I've collected sayings of rock music musicians, musicologists, and other people, and I want to share some facts with you about rock and roll, because rock and roll has done a good job of destroying many people over the past three generations, many in my own generation. When rock music first came on the scene, Bible-believing churches recognized it for what it was. It was the music of sex and rebellion. I don't recall a single Christian ministry of any stripe praising Elvis for his gyrating pelvis. And I'm old enough to remember that and to have seen a lot of that. Back then, even the rock stars, so to speak, called a spade a spade. For example, 2 years after I graduated in Life magazine, there was a quote by Jimi Hendrix in the magazine, and Jimi Hendrix said, quote, "Through music, you can hypnotize people. And when you get them at their weakest point," now look at this, this exact quote, "you can preach into the subconscious minds what you want to say." He went on to say, "Definitely, I'm trying to change the world." He wasn't trying to change the world for good, I might add, but indeed, that was his goal. Whether or not you want to believe it, music is powerful. Powerful. It's awesome in power, and it can mold the thinking of the masses, and particularly the young people. And Adolf Hitler knew that. He had his own type of music for Hitler's youth, and rock musicians know that. They had their own type of music as well. Crosby of Crosby, Stills, and Nash made it plain enough when he bragged, quote, "I figure that the only thing to do was to steal their kids." I still think it's the only thing to do. Now, I'm not talking about kidnapping, but about changing young people's value system. That's from Rolling Stone magazine, volume 1, page 410. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Rock music has done a very good job at changing the value system of three generations of young people who have been inundated with it. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and down in verse 22, it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." There's a lot of hormones running around in young people as teenagers. I still remember the time, and I still remember the youthful lusts that bounced around in my brain, and some of them, a good deal of them, I resisted, and some of them I didn't. But I'm very thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and a good, solid, Bible-believing church that I got into as a teenage young boy who recognized the dangers of the music that was coming to the forefront in those days. I remember the sermon of C. Frank Mills warning about the music to this day. Somebody might ask, can music change someone's value system? And I say, yes, indeed it can, and it has, and it is. I remember reading a quote from Leonard Bernstein. You all who are older ought to know who Leonard Bernstein is. And he wrote in Newsweek, October 29th, 1990, "Music is something terribly special. It doesn't have to pass through the sensor of the brain before it can reach the heart. And F sharp doesn't have to be considered in the mind. It is a direct hit and therefore all the more powerful." Now, I want you to note something. There's a lie going around today that says music is neutral. That is a lie. And I want you to note that I'm talking about music, not the words of the music. Music, in and of itself, has power either for good or evil. Now, godly music has a strong melody. Quote, "The part of music to which the Spirit responds is the melody." Wow, come on, preacher, give me a break. What Bible proof do you have of that? Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 indicates that the most prominent part of music should be the melody. And it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Then come to the music part. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making" what? "Melody in your heart to the Lord." Music can be used powerfully for good or evil. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, it shows the powerful effect of good music and what power it can have. And I'm just going to read it to you, 1 Samuel 16:23. "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well. And the evil spirit departed from him." music can have a positive benefit. The right kind of music can have a positive and a soothing benefit. Now that brings me to harmony. Harmony is the part of the music to which your mind responds. Harmony is the intellectual part of music, according to Kurt Wetzel and Frank Garlock in their book, Music in the Balance, page 58. Then there is rhythm. I had my air conditioner going full blast day before yesterday. And I pulled up to a stoplight, and then I thought something was going wrong with my car. Because all of a sudden my car started kind of moving. And I even rolled down my window a bit to see if I could hear what was wrong. Well, I could hear what was wrong. All of the windows of the car next to me were rolled up as well, but the whole trunk of that car must have had a big boom thing in there because it was shaking not only his car, it was shaking my car. Rhythm is the pulse of music. If there's too much pulse, the body is sick. If there's too much rhythm, the music is sick. When the pulse is under control, the body is well. When the rhythm is under control, the music is well. It is clear as well when there is a driving rhythm in the music, music is sensual. Quote, the sexuality of music is usually referred to in terms of rhythm. Lenny Seidel wrote that. It is the beat that commands a direct physical response. Music with a heavy, hard beat got the name, sorry, I'm just going to tell you, got the name rock and roll when a disc jockey coined the term for sex in the backseat of a car. Further, rock and roll beat incites rebellion. Dr. Don Nelson, who spoke here once many years ago, he's home to be with the Lord, says, the rock beat is Satan's sound of lawlessness. The rock beat is the music of perversion. Every knowledgeable musician knows that the term rock really means a shameful act of lust. There's another serious problem, but you need to be aware of, and honest musicians will even admit it, and that is that the beat of rock is nothing new. Having lectured on, visited, secretly recorded, heard many occult and pagan groups over the years, I know very, very well that this rock beat is nothing new. Pagan animistic tribes had the rock beat long before it came to America. There's a program that was done here that showed on VCY that we have in our archives there. It's called the Voodoo Beat of Rock and Roll. You say, oh, come on, Pastor, you're really stretching it. No, not stretching it at all. I just want you to know that this beat has been used to get people high and into an altered state of consciousness for years and years and years and years. Quote, traditional drumming and dancing techniques are designed to achieve the shamanistic state of consciousness, Hunt and McMahon write. In fact, the beat is, quote, the vehicle of demonic manifestation. Now, you say, I've told that before, and people said that is totally unsupported. No, it's totally supported. I spent 3 months in Haiti, and I saw the voodoo festivals and went to sleep nearly every night with the beat of the voodoo drums in the background, the pounding of those drums. That's all you heard besides the screams of the voodoo practitioners. And it was common to hear that diabolical beat. Also, a good part of me is of American Indian heritage. And in their pagan rituals, they use drumming to bring them into an altered state of consciousness to make contact with their power animals so that they can do supernatural feats. I talked with missionary Ivor Greenslade. I actually have it on videotape. And for years he was a missionary to the Amazon. He's retired now, but he was with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And here's what he said in the interview. When we first came up here from the mission field and heard the rock music, when it first came out, my wife and I looked at each other and said, "This is something we've been hearing all along, that beat. It's nothing new to us. It sounds like the jungle music." He goes on to say, "I remember one furlough coming back, and we took some tapes out. Our children had slipped one of those contemporary Christian music tapes, Christian rock. They slipped it in the stuff. We really should put that in quotations," he said. "Christian rock, there's really nothing Christian about rock. Rock is rock and is connected to spiritism," Ivor said. "When our children played the tape that they had smuggled back to the mission field, suddenly the brethren wanted to know why we were playing the music of demons. They recognized it right away. All of this contemporary Christian music, as they call it, the people who are in animism recognize it right away as their demonism music. You will find that this rock music and animism is the same in the Amazon jungle as it is in North America. It is all related to spiritism." It seems that nearly everybody except Christian contemporary music artists know that rock and roll is related to the devil and spiritism. And I have some facts that I would like to share with you. The Rock Facts, which is published by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum, admits that rock is not just a type of music, it is a lifestyle. Quote, "Rock and roll has truly become a universal language. Rock and roll refers to an attitude, a feeling, a style, a way of life." This is the Rock Fact book published in 1996 on page 7. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." One of the main reasons that Christian kids get themselves in trouble is, number one, if the parents allow crummy music into the house, and maybe they don't listen to it themselves, but they allow their kids to listen to the Christian rock and the rock music. Now, kids who get involved in Christian rock soon transfer over. It's like near beer. Why drink the near stuff when you can have the real thing? And so soon they transition, just like Amy Grant did, and just like so many of the former Christian music artists did, they transitioned from the Christian variety to the real variety. Or if parents are very careful about what their children are listening to, the kids smuggle it in and listen to it secretly and listen to it with their friends and when they're away from home. I want to tell you something, parents. You ought to know what your kids are downloading on their iPods. You need to know what they're listening to, because what they listen to goes into their brain, and what goes into their brain, if it is the wrong stuff that goes into their brain, it affects their morals, their values, their attitude, and their lifestyles. And I've lived long enough to see that become true over and over and over and over again in this church and the previous churches that I pastored in. Back to my quotes. Deborah Harry in Hit Parade magazine, September 1979, stated, "The main ingredient in rock are sex. The main ingredients in rock are sex and sass. Sex and sass." Again, Ted Nugent, rock star, said in Rolling Stone, "Rock is the total celebration of the physical." You see all that stuff, and now it's transitioned from rock, and now you got the rap, which is the violent stuff, and they come right out and talk about perversion and sexual immorality. And you can't tell me it doesn't have an effect on the people who listen to it, because it does. And it's been proven to be true. Then going on to Gene Simmons. Everybody knows who Gene Simmons is. If you're old enough, he was a member of the band Kiss. That's what rock and roll is. That's what rock is all about. Sex and a 100 megaton bomb, the beat. So you got sex and the beat and sex and the beat and sex and the beat. Looking at a Newsweek article, James Conner, "At the very least, rock is turning sex into something casual." Now, that was written in 1985, and indeed, you know what has happened today? Sex has become something casual. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read a couple of passages. First of all, I'm going to go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. It says this, Galatians 5, 7, "Ye did run well. Who hindered you that ye should not obey the truth?" What's happening today is music gets into the lives of people and promotes a different morality than biblical morality. It promotes a different, instead of obedience, it promotes sass and rebellion. Then parents are surprised when a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, as it says in verse 9. Galatians 6, 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The throbbing beat of rock and roll provides a vital sex release for its adolescent audience. Who said that? Well, people of my generation, Jan and Dean. Didn't they write Dead Man's Curve? I don't know. Sex has been rock music's number one message since the medium was born. From the book Why Knock Rock, page 67. The best rock and roll music encapsulates a certain high energy and angriness, whether on record or on stage. Today would be whether on iPod or on stage. This is rock and roll is the only rock and roll if it's not safe. That is, rock and roll is only rock and roll if it's not safe. Violence and energy, and that's really what rock and roll is all about. You know who said that? Mick Jagger, the Rolling what? Stones. Rock and roll is all sex. This is what Debbie Harry of the rock band Blondie said. 100% sex. Then we come to rock drummer King Coffee. It says, the whole idea of rock is to offend your parents. That's the whole idea. How many of you who are my age or a little bit younger, or even younger than that, knew that or know that? Yeah. David, I didn't tell you you could buy that Beatles record. Give it to me. You know what a yellow submarine is? The Beatles song, We All Live in a Yellow Submarine. That was drugs, man. That was drugs. You think, because I'm a preacher, I don't know about those things, but I know all too well about some of that junk and how it can devastate people's lives. Rock concerts are the church of today. And this was the guitarist for Jefferson Airplane said that. He says, music puts them on a spiritual plane. All music is God. I would say all music is spiritual. I don't mean Christian, but spiritual. There's all kinds of spirituality, friends, but music carries with it a spiritual tone. It either glorifies God or it doesn't glorify God, and we know that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? To the glory of God. Our music is intended to change one set of values for another. Free minds, free dope, free body, free music. Paul Kantner of the Jefferson Airplanes. Turn with me to Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. One of the So many in the contemporary Christian movement today are saying music is neutral. That's a big lie. A note is neutral, just like an alphabet letter is neutral. An A is neutral, a B is neutral, a C is neutral, a D is neutral, an F, a G, an H, a J, a K, an M, an O, a P. Those are all neutral. But when you put them together, you can spell G-O-D or D-O-G. Then it becomes not neutral when you put it together. And a note is neutral. F, G, A, B, C, D, E. Those notes are neutral, but when you put them together, you can put them together in something good or something bad. It says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. What kind of fruit has rock and roll produced? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their, here it is, fruits, ye shall what? Know them. I don't know that anybody has ever been corrupted by singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't know anybody who's ever been corrupted by that. However, I could sing you, but I'll spare you. Louie, Louie. And I'll tell you what, it was way down low. It drug many people into the gutter. And music, the wrong kind of music, is doing that yet today. Rolling Stone magazine, an advertisement, says this: rock and roll is more than just music. It is the energy center of a new culture and a youth revolution. Indeed, that is exactly what it was. And there was a revolution, there was a change, but not for the good. At the base and at its best, rock and roll is the celebration of human sensuality. There's no question in my mind about the hypnotic effect of these songs, said Dr. Granville Knight. Rock music is the ideal vehicle for individual and mass hypnosis. Pop music in the mass media is for conditioning the way people think. Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. What is undeniable about rock music is its hypnotic power. It has gripped millions of young people around the world and transformed their lives. William Schaefer, Rock Music, published in 1972. You know, when Linda and I went with Pastor Darrell and Mrs. Darrell to Germany the year after the wall fell down, it was heartbreaking to see what America had done to East Germany so quickly, within a year. I went into a local store, and there was two things that were very obvious to me there in that local little corner store in what had been East Germany just a year previous. American rock and roll and American pornography. And the churches were lamenting because a lot of churches after the wall came down sent groups over. And I even have a letter in my files where they said, don't send them over anymore. The kind of music they're coming and singing to our young people are corrupting our young people. They saw it right away. Atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing. Who said that? Jimi Hendrix. You hypnotize people to where they go right back to their natural state, which is pure, positive, the subconscious, what we may want to say. People want release any kind of way nowadays. The idea is to release in the proper form. Then they'll feel like going into another world, a cleaner world. Music flows from the air. That's why I connect with a spirit. And when they come down off the natural high, they see clearer, feel different things. Well, I don't know about seeing clearer, but I do know they feel different things. We go on and look at this. Here is David Winter, a new singer, a new song. He says this: an incessant beat does erode a sense of responsibility in much the same way as alcohol does. You feel in the grip of a relentless stream of sound to which something very basic and primal in the human nature responds. We have another one here. This is the neuropsychology from the Neuropsychology of Rhythm. A doctor wrote this. Rock music involves a neuropsychological conditioning in connotation or felt meaning linking aggression and sexuality. Our basic claim is that rock music itself induces a behavior link between aggression and sexuality. And that was not a Christian doctor who did that study. We have John Oates of Hall and Oates. He says, rock and roll is 99% sex. Then we go on to Lita Floyd of the heavy metal group The Runaways. As recorded in the Los Angeles Times in 1988. Listen, rock and roll ain't church. It's nasty business. You've got to be nasty too. If you're goody-goody, you can't sing or play it. Very interesting. Very interesting. Rock music is sex. Frank Zappa, of the Mothers of Invention. The big beat matches the body's rhythm. Malcolm McLean, punk rock manager, wrote this, rock and roll is pagan and primitive and very jungle, and that's how it should be. The moment it stops being those things, it's dead. The true meaning of rock is sex, subversive, and style. In a sense, all rock is revolutionary, Time magazine of 1969. But its very beat and sound, it has always implicitly rejected restraints and has celebrated freedom and sexuality. How many of you have ever heard of Woodstock? If you're the right age, you've heard of Woodstock. I won't ask how many attended Woodstock. Rock and roll is a beast. And very interesting. Well-intentioned people thought you could pick it up and cuddle it. They forgot that it has claws of the bands. They forgot it has claws of the bands. The slits, the other word there, bad manners, vibrators, the strangers, the meatloaf. I know because I was one of them. Behind every sweet doo-wop, boy, that's old, and bebop is unfettered sexuality and sympathy for the devil. Violently anarchic in the face of all harmony, peace, and progress. People could see that when it first happened, and it hasn't changed. Anybody with a penny worth of gray matter could see it was trouble. Rock music has gotten the same message as before. It is anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, anti-morality. But now I understand what you have to do. You have to put the message across with a little honey on it. You know who said that? John Lennon. John Lennon. Let's go on to David Roberts' quote. Heavy rock is body music designed to bypass your brain and with an unrelenting brutality induce a frenzied state amongst the audience. You say, how would you know that? I'll tell you how I'd know that. A number of years ago, I was security at Summerfest for 2 summers for some extra money. And we recorded people doing things and called police. We didn't have arrest powers, but we video recorded people doing things, pointed people out to the police. The video was the evidence, and they would get all wrapped up in this banging music and literally go nuts. Ted Nugent said, "Rock is the perfect primal method for releasing our violent instincts." I'm going to stop there and just tell you this. As long as I live and breathe and pastor a First Baptist church, we're not letting Christian rock into this church. And parents, you would be wise, if you still have children at home, not to let it in your home. You would be wise to know what's on your kids' iPods. And I'll never forget. You know what? Even though you might have a, and they hardly use them anymore, now they all have CDs. What was before CDs? A cassette. You might have a cassette that says on the front, 40 hymns of the faith, and it's sitting in a prominent place on your kid's dresser. You know what? It might not be 40 hymns of the faith. It might have some of the worst gross music on it you ever thought. You say, how do you know? I just know. Because I've had parents be shocked when they discovered those things. Friends, you might say, preacher's old and crotchety. No, preacher's been around a long time. And I've seen what it's done to the lives of men and women. And thankfully, I've seen some who have gone that direction, who have repented, and God has cleaned them up and changed their lives. I still have 3 huge boxes of old vinyl records that when people got saved and realized the damage that rock and roll had done, that they brought me these records and say, I don't want them anymore, preacher. You say, well, what do you got them for? I play them every day. No, I'm only kidding. The fact of the matter was, is when I would preach on this in different places, I'd use them as illustrations. I did have a bunch of cassette tapes as well, but when I cleaned out the garage, all of them went. And when I get around to cleaning the garage that these are in, these are all going to go as well. But the fact is music has a powerful influence on your life. And if it's good music, it'll have a good influence. And if it's evil music, it'll have an evil influence. Because music is powerful. It goes right to your heart, bypassing that screening mechanism. And as a man thinketh, or a woman thinketh, in his heart, so is he.